Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, December the 13th, 2013. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a good weekend. We are live weekdays during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream and podcast the show for any time in the world listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our media partners, tucsoncitizen.com, tucsonsentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, and blogforarizona.com. We thank our media partners for supporting the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Joining me to question Mr. Huckleberry, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. If you have a question or comment for Mr. Huckleberry, the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also invite you to become a friend of the show on Facebook, where we have now more than 3,000 people who are following the show. Let's welcome now Chuck Huckleberry. Dan, good to see you as well.
Good to see you, Bill.
Mr. Huckleberry, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
The news is in on the Forest Service will allow Rosemont, at least in the draft decision that is coming out today, with the Forest Service approving the proposed Rosemont mine. What does this news mean?
Well, it's always been, I think, a foregone conclusion that the Forest Service had to allow mining on the property. Several years ago, during this whole deliberative process, they indicated they could not say no. And so what you're seeing is them coming to the conclusion that all of the processes have been completed, with the exception of a couple, and they're now publishing this draft environmental impact statement. Public comment on it starts officially, I think, January the 1st for 45 days, and then I think they have about another 45 days to review the comments and publish a final opinion. And I think, really, once the final opinion is published by the Forest Service, you're going to know what mitigation is being required, and then the next step, if there is any, is either it's finalized and they obtain their permits, or it then begins a judicial review process, which is potentially possible.
The situation with the Corps of Engineers, that still they have not weighed in on this.
From what I understand, the most critical issue to be resolved is really, are they adequately mitigating the impacts to waters of the United States regulated by the Corps of Engineers with oversight by the Environmental Protection Agency? I think that I've not heard whether those two agencies have really agreed as to whether or not Rosemont's proposed mitigation is adequate. We have our own opinion and would say that it's probably not. But again, it's not our decision to make. It's the Corps' decision as well as the Environmental Protection Agency's.
All right, here's Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News.
Let's jump to a different topic here down our direction, if we could. There's another effort to have Sahuarita and Green Valley join Santa Cruz County. It's a long shot at best, probably not going to happen. But it speaks to some of the discontent in Pima County with Pima County government by some people down there. Is it common to hear from communities like Green Valley, Vail, that they pay in more than they get back? And is this true?
Well, A, it's not true, and B, it's not as common as it used to be. It's usually common when a community is thinking about incorporating because they have to have a reason for incorporation, and that's usually the easiest one to pick on. In detail, it usually works out to be not the case. There are many services the county provides the citizens of Pima County in all areas, both incorporated as well as, say, Green Valley and Vail, of which they don't benefit from because it's the criminal justice system. Two-thirds of our budget is criminal justice, and I don't think they want to take advantage of the services in our jail or through the prosecutor's office or defender's office, but it's reality. It's what we're faced with. The issue in I think the latest comes from a resident who's not a resident of Pima County. It's a resident of of Santa Cruz County lives in Sonoyta, and Sonoyta has always been at odds with the balance of Santa Cruz County. So I think it's really an effort to have a portion of Pima County join Santa Cruz as opposed to anyone in Pima County wanting to split off.
There are a few up in Sarita. There are a couple of big supporters of this, and in Green Valley, they actually have their own group. But reality, what are the chances something like this could happen?
About zero.
Okay.
It's going to take an election in both counties.
Right.
The legislature's not going to do it. And so I think it's nice to talk about. It allows people to debate the issues, but the reality of happening is I just don't even think it's going to get off the ground.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry, Mr. Huckleberry would be delighted to hear from you and entertain your question or comment. The legislative agenda for the upcoming legislative session, you have said publicly, you had an op-ed piece in the Arizona Daily Star about a gas tax increase, and there was a question mark after that saying, have I lost all sense? No, I'm facing reality.
That's correct, and I think everybody needs to understand that no one is going to voluntarily come in and fix our own potholes. We have to basically fix our own transportation. We also have to recognize that transportation and transportation systems are the backbone of economic development and economic expansion. So if we want one, we can't have one without the other. And so our transportation systems are in a mess. We haven't raised revenues in 23 years in Arizona. We've diverted money from transportation investment. It's time to face the reality that we need to do something.
You're asking for, as I believe, as I recall, a 10-cent increase. What if we went 5 cents or 3 cents or whatever? What's that going to mean?
Dan, very good point. What we said is we just arbitrarily picked a number, and
okay.
So there's nothing magic about 10%. But I think you're absolutely right. It needs to be gradual, and so if it was a voter referral, it could say 2 cents every quarter, which is every 180 days for a year. Or for 2 years. And if you want 2 years, that's 16 cents. It's very likely that the price of fuel has stabilized and will stabilize over the next 1 to 2 years and probably continue to go down. So people may not even see it if they vote something in gradually.
And you actually wrote op-eds in several newspapers. What's the feedback been on this?
Feedback I've gotten, email, has all been very positive, which is basically people recognizing that, we can't take money out of some other area to fill the potholes, that a user tax is probably the fairest way to do it. A lot of people have been pushing us for a property tax, and we just think that's not equitable. We'd much rather go with a user tax.
And you recently revived a plan to create a $5 million fund that would be dedicated to road maintenance. This would require a small property tax increase?
Yes, it would. And it's what I continue to call a Band-Aid. It's just basically trying to get us past where we are today. I will probably have that. It'll be an action item for the board this year when they see our 2014-15 budget. And it's really up to them whether they want to increase the primary property tax and dedicate it to highways.
All right, 12:13 on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview with Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. I believe Dan is up first. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you, Bill and gentlemen. Yes, you just mentioned a moment ago that monies were being diverted from the transportation funds to other projects. We'll stop diverting the transportation funds and put them where they were designed to go in the first place. If we start paying more on gas, it'll be just diverted also, won't it?
Yeah, Dan, we're not doing the diverting. It's the state legislature. Since 1991 and beyond that, and even most recently with the state budget crisis starting in about 2007, the legislature diverted, and in total they've diverted $1.5 billion out of the state transportation fund, which is really the monies that go to all the state itself and cities and counties to maintain streets and highways. And we think that money should be put back. But given the fact you put it back, we still haven't raised the basic revenue source in 23 years, and it's half, you know, it's worth half of what it was when it was last increased. So we're falling further and further behind.
All right. This might be a logical point to take our first break on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview. As we come up now to 12:15, we do have Chuck Huckleberry with us. Actually, maybe we should take, let's take this call because it's still on topic from David. Go ahead, David. You're with Chuck Huckleberry.
Yes, I'm against raising property taxes. Pay for things for transportation, because my taxes are way too high. This comes from $1,500 to $4,700 in just 3 years, and it's still going up to raise $200 a year. What they need to do is raise impact fees on development occurring on the fringes of the metropolitan area. That's what's creating the demands for new roads. And I see they divert money all the time for new roads, like they built the Twin Peaks interchange and the Twin Peaks extension because they built all those houses along a Tangerine Road. In my opinion, what they need to do is raise impact fees on development on the periphery, like up in the Tortolita Fan and those areas, because they do it indirectly. They hide it. Like, Marana gets more money from the state to build these new roads to accommodate the booming housing developments, and then that takes away money from Pima County. Pima County gets less money to maintain the roads, and then they have to raise taxes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, David. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, David, I agree with you. Property taxes are the least likely thing to use for fixing roads. We need to stay with the traditional user fees, and that's the gas tax. And I would be absolutely happy if the gas tax were raised, and we wouldn't under any circumstances entertain increasing the property tax just to pay for roads.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It is 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Chuck Huckleberry is here, Pima County Administrator, and I'm also joined by Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they save money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife.
The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right, you get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Friday Focus interview. Today it's with Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News. And Dan, you are up to the plate.
Chuck, there's another report out today saying the A-10 warthog will be gone by 2015. I know the county backs the new F-35, which is going to Phoenix. But go over again what the A-10 decision is going to do to Pima County.
Well, what happens is the A-10 is the aircraft that's based at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And so what has to happen if the A-10 is actually phased out of the operational aircraft of the Air Force, a replacement aircraft or a replacement mission needs to come in to backfill for that loss. The base has very significant economic impact on the region and the community. And so we either have to find a mission that's similar or in this case of pilot training, because that's typically what happens in Arizona because of our weather and other advantages. The F-35 is the fighter that's going to phase out a number of aircraft in the Air Force's inventory. So it's real, it's here, and I think we need to continue to support Davis-Monthan getting an F-35 mission.
Right. And who really should lead the charge on this? Should it be Ron Barber or should it be the county? I mean, is trying to find some sort of replacement?
I think it's everybody. I think it's the community. One of the things we need to make sure that the Air Force understands is that this community supports Davis-Monthan. Obviously, there are some critics with regard to the issue, mostly over noise. But overall, I think the community itself has a very long and strong record for supporting Davis-Monthan, and I think, you know, we need to do that, and I think our congressional delegation needs to help us as well.
Getting back to the road situation and the RTA, the Regional Transportation Authority, the shortfall will be growing to some $364 million. Those are the new projections. What impact does that have on county repair and road jobs?
Well, what it means is those county projects that are still in the queue, meaning that they aren't really done yet, could be threatened with shortfalls. And I think what we need to do is address a shortfall logically. It's nobody's fault. It's the economy's fault if we want to place blame somewhere. Recognize it's real and deal with it. And I think there are options that can be dealt with it pretty effectively in the highway elements of the RTA plan. I think where it's going to become even more critical as to how that shortfall is dealt with is in transit, because there aren't any other transit revenues that come into the region, as opposed to with the highway elements of the plan. We have federal funds that come in from time to time and typically annually, as well as additional state funds. So there's some flexibility. It's an issue. It needs to be dealt with, but it needs to be dealt with correctly and logically.
All right, here's Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News.
Chuck, there's a piece in Inside Tucson Business this week that calls Rancho Vistoso an environmental victory. That's the development north of Tangerine Road. And their story looks at how these 8,000 acres were once a battleground in the 80s and 90s between developers and environmentalists. First of all, do you agree that it's a victory? And how do we get environmentalists and developers to work together?
Well, we're doing better at it. Is it a victory? Well, it's a better subdivision and development than we may have had in the 50s and 60s, because in large part they stayed out of the washes and left some of the more, we call, sensitive environmental lands alone. It also, you know, but it's still a bedroom community largely. To be truly successful, while it's a good land use plan, and I think everybody who lives there likes there and it's attractive, is we need to embed employment into that plan. And the Innovation Park is the beginning, but it needs to be expanded, and then it can become kind of a true standalone satellite community of the Tucson region. And I think developers and environmentalists are getting along better than they used to. Developers supported the conservation plan, and I think some of the environmentalists have stepped forward and come to the reality that Tucson is going to continue to grow and expand, and therefore there's going to be more development in the future.
How about speed cameras? Are they going away in Pima County?
Well, there's been no effort to renew our contract, so sometime in January, the speed cameras will be deactivated and will go away.
Have they been effective?
Well, they were initially very effective, and I think everyone got used to the location, obviously. And what we've seen is that it did slow down travel on a regional basis.
They know speeding. Where they are, and then they'll speed up again.
They speed up again. It had initially an effect, a positive effect on accident rates, but accident rates have crept back up. And so I think it's one of those policy experiments that worked initially but has now proven to be, probably effective at those locations but not effective overall.
What was the county spending on that?
Well, the county didn't spend anything. What we were criticized for is it was a cash cow. We were making money off people who were inadvertently not paying attention to their speedometer. And the problem was is that everybody but the county made money. I think our net take out of a $288 ticket was maybe $20.
Here's Dan again.
Well, that's something. The Department of Defense spends about half of its personnel budget on health care costs, which is a pretty staggering figure. What is that figure for the county, and how are we dealing with rising health care costs?
Rising health care costs, as well as what we call benefit cost. The other side of that coin is simply the pension cost. But in the health care, we spend $42 million a year providing health care for our employees and health insurance. We have actually tried to cap that cost increase by going to a self-insurance trust fund. It's our first year into it. We think our cost will rise less than 5% since we've been in this self-insurance trust fund. In the previous year, under an insured model, meaning an insurance company, our cost rose 18%. So it's going to be a continuing issue. I would say that in the future, we'll see models that go more to self-insurance and begin to cost share with employees. We still have a very rich plan. We pay probably 90% or maybe more than that of the employee's cost. And so I think we'll also see plans in the future that basically charge employees for risk-type behavior, meaning if you're a smoker, you're going to pay more. If you're a non-smoker and you exercise, you're going to pay less.
Right, and a lot of places are at that already. So in the future, you do see that the employees are probably going to be kicking in more.
Yes, I think it's pretty, the handwriting's on the wall. The employees
right.
are going to pay more, particularly those employees who engage in risky, unhealthy behavior are going to pay a lot more.
How about the alignment that has been talked about, a new alignment between connecting I-10 and I-19 that would really be a big boost to the Raytheon and suppliers in that area?
Yes, a big project that we've been pushing is this connection between I-19 and I-10. It's been on the books for 30 years in Green Valley. I mean, they must have 13 different locations.
Absolutely.
And what we need to do is reach a consensus and build it so that we can finally, help facilitate trade and employ basically travel in that area. Dan's from the Green Valley area, and 10, 15 years ago, I-19 was not congested. Today it's a mess,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to get worse until we have alternatives.
And whose decision will that be ultimately to build this?
Ultimately, it's going to be a kind of consortium between probably the county, the state of Arizona, and it's the Arizona Department of Transportation. The city has a big component piece of it. And we've also been talking recently with the Santa Fe District of the Autumn Nation, and they've been very positive in their discussions about, you know, how to basically get this done for everyone's economic expansion benefit.
The tent city going up at the Pima
tent,
Animal Control?
Tent city goes up at Animal Care probably animal next care. Week. We're having another meeting of Animal Care Advisory Committee on Thursday. I understand there's going to be a candlelight vigil by folks who are, you know, sympathetic with what's occurring. You know, we encourage that. We also encourage all those people who come to the candlelight vigil to come in and adopt an animal.
No adoption fees this month.
Yeah. And so we're doing whatever we can to, you know, to try and ease the discomfort of those animals that find themselves, unfortunately, confined at our animal care facility.
The best Christmas present for somebody would be adopting one of those animals.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Chuck Huckleberry. Have a great holiday season. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. We'll be right back with our Reporters Roundtable after this.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Authorities say a Kansas man accused of planning to set off a car bomb at the Wichita airport has been arrested. The man arrested this morning in a sting operation. One college student says he was in line for hours but didn't get a chance to view Nelson Mandela in his casket today, final day on which the former South African leader was lying in state. That budget deal that won approval in the House yesterday now faces a Tuesday test vote in the Senate. The nation's second largest commuter rail line is increasing scrutiny of its workers on board trains. A stepped-up effort by Metro North comes a couple of weeks after a deadly derailment of one of its trains in New York City. On Wall Street, the Dow down 3 points. The Nasdaq is off 4. The S&P 2 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Welcome to our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Dan Shear of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Dan the editor there, and Linda Valdez joining us now, columnist and editorial writer for the Arizona Republic. How are you today, Linda?
I'm good, Bill.
Good to be here. Linda, what's the latest on these CPS cases? State officials really have three different investigations that have been launched since the revelation last month that thousands of reports of child abuse and neglect have gone without investigation.
Well, you're right, Bill. There are three groups looking at it now, including one that the governor appointed that's supposed to be more independent than the others. There's one through DES itself and one through the Department of Public Safety. And they've checked on 200 cases as of Wednesday, and that they said need more immediate response. And there have been 1,200 cases assigned for investigation because they warrant immediate attention. One of the interesting things about that is the head of the Mr. Flanagan, the head of the care team that the governor appointed, says it's difficult to see whether the cases referred for investigation have actually been investigated because they have such a clunky computer system, such a clunky data system up there.
This is a mess.
It's a complete mess. It's a real mess, and a lot of people are calling for changes. But one hopes that there have been messes at CPS before, and one hopes that this one doesn't blow over and disappear. It's the latest crisis, and it should lead to changes.
And, you know, all three of us have been in this business long enough where, like, every 4 or 5 years there's this blow-up with CPS, and it seems like we are dealing with the same issues, the same problem. Are they underfunded? Are they hiring the wrong people? Do they have bad leadership? What is it? But I feel like we're telling the story over and over, and it's very frustrating because it's hurting a lot of people.
Well, and it's so true because the same solutions come back over and over. People come back
exactly
to the same ideas they had 10 years ago. You know, Rick Romley, the former Maricopa County attorney, has come back saying, oh, we need to do what I recommended doing 10 years ago. People
I told you so. He said this was going to happen,
right,
and it has, and we hear that over and over
and
again.
Yeah, so Dan's right. You just keep going over the same ground. I don't know how you break out of that cycle, but we certainly need to.
And if anything, it's calling attention to the foster that we need more foster care parents.
Right. And we've done quite a few stories down in Green Valley and Saurita because we actually have a high concentration of foster parents down there, and which is a very good thing. But yeah, that really right now is the immediate need. And part of it is that you need people who can take sibling groups so that they aren't sent out of the county and or far apart from each other, split up, things like that. So there's a lot of need there right now.
But I also think the large number of children in foster care is a symptom of the problems at the department, because Arizona has had the biggest increase in taking children into foster care than any other state in recent years. And I think a lot of the children that come to their attention are children that are suffering from neglect. Maybe those families could be helped if we had more services for them. I think the answer is not to continue taking kids into foster care. I think that's a symptom of the problem.
All right, let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Speaking of the CPS situation, Matthew has a question or comment for us. Go ahead, Matthew.
Linda, you know, it seems like our state legislature can't even identify where the 6,000 concentrations are. I asked one of them, and they said they don't know. They're not getting any information either. But my big thing about CPS is we never, and I know Chuck was on right now, but we never seem to ask the county. I mean, clearly this is a county-city issue where these problems are occurring, what they're doing to work with CPS to build families, support, and all the rest of it. Real quickly, too, have you had a chance to review the recent task force recommendation for 3 income tax brackets instead of 5? And is this an apparent attempt out of nowhere to go to a flat tax? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Matthew. Yeah, we were just talking about this perhaps changing the simplifying the tax situation before we went on the air. It could be an issue. Do you think this will be an issue, Linda, that will come up in the legislature this session?
It will undoubtedly be discussed. I haven't really had a chance to look at it, so I can't make an informed comment about it.
I can tell you the more you look at this, the more complex it gets, and it's a real interesting idea. Are they heading toward a flat tax? That's a real interesting idea. I don't think I'd heard that term since Jesse Kelly was running 3 years ago and was really pushing that idea. But it's really something to watch, and there are pluses and minuses with what they're proposing and then even taking it further. It's very, very interesting.
Dan, I want to follow up quickly on Rosemont. Mr. Huckleberry thinks that today's decision from the Forest Service is just really, this is not, I guess it's the beginning of the end, perhaps?
Yeah.
But he certainly feels that there will be maybe even years of litigation ahead.
Exactly, and that is the major question right here. Of course, it's not been approved yet, and it's not the end. Rosemont's an emotional issue, but this was a decision by the Forest Service that could not be based on emotion. Really, the federal government told them that this was the decision that they had to make, and they have been hinting at this and flat out saying it, actually, for a couple of years. It's really what happened today should not be a surprise to anybody, but that is the key, is where is this going to end up, and is there any way that Rosemont can avoid it being litigated for years? But I have said all along that that's where it's going to, that's where we're heading, and so we'll see.
Ultimately, it could be the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, that makes the final decision.
That seems to be the case. Yeah, they're going to have a voice in this. And I think
Congressman Grijalva has been very vocal about his opposition to it.
There's a lot of opposition to this mine that seems to be very well founded. And I think Dan is absolutely right. This is going to end up in court. It's going to probably be there for quite some time.
All right, let's go back to the live line. Joe has a comment about abandoned animals and foster kids. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, just wanted to point out first, the correlating features between abandoned animals and the foster care, and I didn't realize that we were number one in terms of taking in the most kids, and it just really speaks to the economic rot. With that being said, I think, with the Rosemont mine, I think that is just, it's kind of dumb money, because people are, if we talk about water rates, what it's going to be and the projected water levels coming up in the future, and it's a story about less water, not more. And I think that to commit all that water to that mine, and to not have, to figure out the economic rot that's going on in this country, and we always hear about, 300 jobs at $50,000 a year? That's nothing it's something. People could argue, say, yeah, Joe, you're wrong, it's something. But you know what? In the macro sense of it, that's dumb money.
Okay, thanks, Joe, for your opinion. Dan, you want to comment on that?
Well, water's a real big issue, particularly since they're going to be taking it from under Sarita, where I live, and that is the number one issue down there. There are lots of different issues, safety on the roads and, what they might be destroying environmentally and everything. But water, it really does all come back to water. But more than that, like I said, the Forest Service really didn't have any choice on this. We'll see what happens. The EPA, yes, could veto this. However, they do not step in real often on these types of things. So we'll see what happens.
And if I could just clarify about the CPS and foster care, we are not number one in terms of the rate of taking children into foster care. Where we were number one was in the increase in the number of kids entering the system, and that's a distinction that's important to make.
Okay, Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic, State Senator Senator Linda Lopez stepping down. She has apparently a new job that's going to require a lot more attention and will not be able to be away up at the legislature. This will be a change for Democratic leadership because Linda has held several high positions in the legislature in the Democratic Party. Linda Valdez.
Well, she did resign her leadership position back in October, so this was sort of, I think, in the works. She's apparently, her new job is demanding, and she needs more time for that. That's an assumption on my part. But it will result in a change. It's not going to be a huge change philosophically because it will be another Democrat for a Democrat. There are three names out there right now. It's Vic Soltero and another former lawmaker, Tom Brzezelski, and then the current representative, Andrea D'Alessandro. Those are the names that are being put forth, but it'll be up to the Board of Supervisors to pick one.
Right, and Linda represents District 2, which is a newly redrawn district, which is southern Tucson down to Nogales, so it includes all of Green Valley and Sahuarita, but you know what? She's only been there for a year, so we hardly got to know her. So
And Andrea D'Alessandro's made it perfectly clear on her Facebook page that she would really want the job, and it will be up to the Pima County Board of Supervisors.
Correct.
Will decide after recommendations come from the precinct.
Precincts committee, right. Committee people, yes.
But so, if it's Andrea D'Alessandro, then there will be another choice that will have to be made to fill Andrea's position in the House of Representatives.
Absolutely, yep.
All right, Dan, you took a little shopping tour down to Mexico. How'd it go?
You know, I was down in Nogales, Sonora, and you know, a lot of people were hitting the pharmacies and the dentists. The dentist's office are very nice down there, by the way, and half of Green Valley gets their teeth done down there. Those, you know, the ones who have teeth. So you know what? I love going to Nogales, Sonora. We were at the Fray Marcos Hotel. We were at La Roca and had lunch there. But I'll tell you, I also remember the heyday back when there were literally hundreds of shops just on the other side of the border, mm-hmm. and it was fun to go down. You didn't need a passport. Quick back and forth. And absolutely, that is 100% gone.
And the shopping didn't look like it was all that busy?
It wasn't real busy. I was there on a Saturday, and I was really surprised. And you know what? They're making great efforts. I speak the language fairly well, so I do not have a problem going over and kind of handling myself. They had a brand new museum, art museum there, which was a wonderful surprise. And so Nogales is full of surprises. It's a great place. It just depends on what your expectations are when you go down there.
Linda, the challenge to Arizona's Medicaid program, the expansion of the Medicaid program, is in court today. Is that correct?
Yes, it's going to be in court this afternoon, and the discussion will be whether the lawmakers and others who are challenging it have standing. That's the first question that has to be answered before the lawsuit can go ahead. It's not expected that there will be an immediate decision. But it's moving along.
This is the challenge from the Goldwater Institute?
No, this is the challenge from the lawmakers and the Americans for Freedom and Prosperity.
So this is the first of what could be several challenges in court.
Well, I'm not sure that there will be other challenges in court. The opponents tried to get enough signatures to refer it to the ballot, and they failed in doing that. This is the challenge by the lawmakers that were on the losing side of that battle, and that's why there's a question whether they have standing to bring it. The ones who clearly have standing, which would be the Hospital Association, they're not interested in challenging it. They're all for it.
Dan, you were telling me before we went on about a protest. I did not hear about this.
This was
at the Border Patrol checkpoint?
Right. It's at the Border Patrol checkpoint, but not the one on I-19. This one is on Aravaca Road. So if you head on down I-19 and get off at the Cow Palace, it's about a mile down the road on the way to Aravaca. And they are protesting pretty much the same things that those in Tubac protest, because they are just south of the I-19 checkpoint. And that is that it's an inconvenience. It's somewhat of a police state. Is how they word it. The problem with the Border Patrol, among others, is that they're simply not giving us the figures on exactly what is taken at those checkpoints, so there's no way to gauge whether they're really effective or not. They will not break it down for us. So there are about 100 people out there from several groups and several from Aravaca and Amado protesting this, but the Border Patrol told me the checkpoint is going nowhere anytime soon.
It's been there for a while, right?
It has been there about 8 years permanent. So it's still technically a tactical checkpoint, but it's there and it's staying.
And Linda, I see the city of Phoenix deciding they will be opening up an office in Mexico City. I think that's a very wise move, an economic development move.
It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. And the mayor of Tucson was down there this summer and was also talking about that, but they seem to be moving a bit more slowly. But Phoenix is moving ahead, and it's going to help them a lot, I believe.
You were down there as well, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I was down there in the summer at the same time that the mayor of Tucson was down there. And I visited several of the offices that other states have. In particular, the city of San Antonio has an office down there and has for quite some time. That really is a great model. It's a great model for Phoenix to look at.
Okay, Linda Valdez, we will look for your work in the Arizona Republic. Any editorials this weekend or no?
Yes,
I
have a column that's going to be running on Monday about the minimum wage.
Okay, we'll look for that. And Dan Scheer, editor of Green Valley News, Sarbi Tasan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Have a great holiday season to both of you.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
Thanks.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amori on the web at viroamori.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Have you had a chance to visit Biosphere 2's engaging Facebook page yet? Our likes have doubled the last 30 days, so check it out and you'll see why. Inspire and stimulate your mind with all the exciting things going on both inside and outside every day at Biosphere 2. Experience our new architecture, engineering, and history tours. The University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, a world of discovery and adventure. Like us on Facebook and visit today.
Of course, that music signals the weekend on the Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking for a great weekend, how about Silver City, where they're having a Victorian Christmas this weekend, just three and a half hours east of Tucson to Silver City. Lots of great places to stay, including Faywood Hot Springs, Georgetown Cabins, and Gila Hot Springs Ranch. You can find out more on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, the Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist and award-winning publicist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you? All the Christmas shopping is done, I assume.
Well, it will be done soon, shortly, Bill, let's just say that. But we here at Russell Public Communications, we're celebrating. I only have our annual Christmas event, Christmas party tonight, so I only have a few hours left to go get my Santa suit from the cleaners, but I will show up in fine order.
Well, please give everyone at Russell Public Communications my regards and a toast from Mr. Buckmaster.
Thanks so much.
How about this weekend? How about wine in the desert?
Yeah, absolutely. Tomorrow, starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, St. Philip's Plaza over on River and Campbell, they're going to be the setting for, as you say, wine in the desert, tasting and pouring their wines. And the winemakers themselves are going to be showcasing and pouring their wines. And the winemakers themselves, Bill, are going to be on hand to talk about their wines. And this event is going to save you the trip down to Sonoyta or out to Wilcox and other Arizona wine regions, while still being able to enjoy the fruits of this Arizona vine. And as long as you're out there, I say, stay for dinner at Union Public House at St. Philip's Plaza, one of my favorite restaurants at that vibrant intersection.
Hey, I see that Maynard's Market has completed now the renovation.
This is exciting. After 10 weeks of renovation, they are finally open downtown, right next to their sister restaurant, Maynard's Kitchen. This new Maynard's Market features an overflowing deli case, a menu with some great sandwiches and soups, and a bakery that is something for every sweet tooth. Now, all of that and a wine and a coffee bar makes this a market not to miss. Maynard's Market, 400 North Toole, tomorrow afternoon for its grand reopening.
Fourth Avenue Street Fair is underway, should be a lot of fun. And for those trying to find a last-minute Christmas gift, it's always a great place.
Yeah, all weekend starting at 10 a.m. all the way up to 6. More than 400 art and craft booths and nearly 40 food vendors are going to convene for this authentically Tucson event. And, Bill, as you said, there's going to be something for everyone down at the 4th Avenue Street Fair, including lots of things for the kids, face painting and balloons. Of course, it's the food that always gets me excited, and there's going to be plenty of it, from Mexican to barbecue to Thai. Oh, my. Get the family in the car and head down to 4th Avenue Street Fair this weekend.
What's in the column this week on Inside Tucson Business?
Yeah, Bill, I've been fascinated by the return of the blue cocktail at restaurants all across town, and I take a look at some of the more interesting Tucson drinks that are as blue as the ocean, if you can imagine. So pick up a copy of Inside Tucson Business and get ready for a blue Christmas here in town.
How about the Santa suit? Did you get that back from the dry cleaners for the Russell Public Communication party tonight?
Well, it seems like you keep having to let it out, letting the waste out every year. My tailor is getting very frustrated with me, Bill.
Have a great weekend, Matt Russell. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks go out to Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round commercial and residential water needs. All of our in-studio guests are presented with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Everyone loves the arrangement, and why wouldn't they? Culligan water, pure and simple. It's excellent water. Bill Buckmaster, Communications, LLC, produces The Buckmaster Show. On behalf of the team, the lovely and talented, we call her the ace, the producer, Rose Mary Brandt. Rose, you do such a great job for us here on The Buckmaster Show. We're very, very fortunate to have you. Thank you, Rose. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and urging you to tune in this afternoon to the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5, right here in this very studio at AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. Wake Up Tucson, back with you 6 to 8 on Monday morning. But before that, there's all the expert talk that begins with everything you need to know about your garden tomorrow morning with Phil Cedar at 7 a.m. here on KVOI. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll talk with you Monday.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.